Hello and welcome to episode number 361 of the Super Horror Bros podcast. I'm your host Matt, and joining me as always is my brother Mike.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good to be back.
Yeah, we're back after a couple of weeks off. It always feels longer for us. But yeah, nice little recharging the old batteries in a very busy August, in a very hot August now, or going into September, I guess. We're getting our one heat wave, I guess, of the year, nice and late.
As we do. Never when yes. We should.
No, definitely not. Classic British weather.
And a nice couple of weeks off and come back with a stinker of a cold.
I know, it's always the case, isn't it? Like, 2 weeks of fine, and then like, oh yeah, should we record this week? And now, like, my voice is barely struggling, as usual. But I'll get through it.
Really standard, yeah, like, at this point. Like, one of us has to sound like shit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure we'll tag team it, and then you'll get to enjoy it in October, potentially.
Yeah, but, back to school, I'll be getting
ill,
don't you?
Yeah, right in the good month for horror. We got a movie to talk about this week, one that we've discussed in recent weeks, actually, about whether or not we'd get to see it, and kind of assumed that it would just be shat out on demand, which is the case. So we will get to that shortly. But first, some news, obviously being away for a few weeks. And yeah, this is all awesome stuff, actually. A few things that are coming next month, so in the next few weeks, that are all really exciting, all things that we love. So Shudder is the first two here to talk about. And yeah, it's been a while, but obviously we know Creepshow is finally coming back.
Yes.
Season 4. Has it? Because it wasn't on last year, was it? It feels like it's been a while.
I
feel like, didn't we have two seasons in 2021 where it was like April and October? I feel like that's what happened, because it's been a long time. But it's finally back for season 4, coming to Shudder on October 13th, which I think is that Friday the 13th in October this year? I'm pretty sure it is.
Yes, it is.
So yeah, that's cool. And so this is interesting, because in the press release it says Creepshow season 4 will debut on Shudder, AMC Plus and AMC on October 13th with a 6-episode binge premiere on Shudder, and then the AMC stuff, it'll be airing episodes weekly. So that's different, because we've never had it kind of all go on at once on Shudder. So that's an interesting take for them to do that. You know, the kind of the two. Ooh. It's always interesting with the way these streaming platforms, if they want to do it weekly or not. But it's cool, because I would, you know, I'm always just want to watch it all, and it makes it more easy to kind of, you know, potentially do a show on it, which I think Creepshow would be an awesome one to do a show on. Especially because there's not too many films that we're that excited for, whereas Creepshow is one of those big things returning that we're very excited for. So yeah, very happy to see Creepshow back. I should say that this and the next two news items, they all have trailers out, but like, I haven't bothered watching any of them because they're all out next month. So I really don't care.
Stuff we want to see. So
exactly, yeah. It's like it would be. I mean, Creepshow would be the one technically, because it's the least you can spoil it. You know, because you're just going to see random shit that I have no idea. But yeah, we'll talk about these next two things, especially a returning third season, which I'm sure people can figure out what that is. Yeah, I don't need to see a trailer for that. Like, I'm going to be watching it. So yeah, all that's great. And then actually, yeah, I think it's the week before on Shudder. So yeah, an extremely packed October, which is no surprise, really. They always bring the thunder in October, as they should. We're getting the new VHS film. I feel like I'd kind of forgotten about this one, to be honest, because we must have talked about this in the news ages ago, with it being VHS 85. Yeah, we talked about the 80s one, didn't we, in the news? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because obviously we've only had, what, two on Shudder, the 94 and 99. So yeah, this is obviously the third one since it's come back. And yeah, being in the 80s for the first time, which is pretty cool. And some great directors. We got David Bruckner and Scott Derrickson both doing segments, which is... Yeah, like, both those guys have done so much awesome work, and it's cool to see them take a step back from these huge, you know, feature-length films and do segments for VHS. So, yeah, again, there's a trailer for this, haven't seen it. But yeah, five tales set during the 80s, so cannot wait for that one. Like I say, these are both just around the corner and within a week of one another. And I feel like they're probably, outside of the big one coming at the end of September, the return of Saw, these are like easily the things I'm most excited about for the rest of this year. So it's great to see that they're just around the corner. And then, yeah, lastly, kind of not on Shudder, but obviously another one of our favorites is Chucky, which, again, right just before that, so October 4th, will be the season 3 premiere on Sci-Fi and the USA Network. Again, there's a trailer out, but I don't need to see it. It's Chucky. Even after... Yeah, it's great, right? I mean, it's, you know, even after clearly a disappointing season. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, Chucky has so much goodwill with me that even after a lackluster, let's be honest, season, I'm still so excited for this because, yeah, last season wasn't great. And obviously we hope that they can get back to the good stuff. But, like, for the most part, we love Chucky. It's sensational. You know, all of the films, season one, and we just love these guys. And the fact that they're still continuing this canon from the original movie with the same actors and that, it's awesome. Like, the thought of Chucky is one of those few things that can just put a smile on my face just thinking about it. And thinking about the fact that it still exists in this form. So, yeah, a bad season's not going to sway me anytime soon. But, yeah, how excited are you for Chucky and, I guess, this other stuff as well? I mean, it's very exciting, right? Like, the start of October, and we've got all three of these things to look forward to.
Yeah, very exciting. I think definitely with Chucky, I'm excited because, as you say, you know, it's just this continuation of this canon that I'm just so invested in at this point and just want to... you know, continue to see what it's all about. And yeah, so I'm, you know, it's keeping up with the craziness where it all ended, really. And then and the fact that it is continuing, it blows my mind now where I will just forever be a fan of just this continuing. And even when it's like, it's got to be bad for a while for me not to just want to at least just see where it keeps going.
Yeah,
you know, because it is, you know, they've got enough goodwill and they're just so much time into it. And you know, it wasn't awful. And the fact that now we're out of, you know, the setting really and tonally was the biggest problem with it. And now we're almost certainly going to be away from that. You know, I never fell out of love with the characters. So yeah, I'm very excited for that. And as with all the other stuff, it's all good stuff, you know, VHS, great director lineup. It's been, the movies have been great. We love that franchise. And yeah, with Creepshow, it's been, you know, such a welcome return. So a new, you know, to the franchise coming back and yeah, can't be more excited for a new season. So yeah, remember American Horror Story?
Yeah, I do, and I'm sure that's coming out around this time.
Yeah, because I was thinking about when we're talking about all this horror TV and stuff, and I just remember, like, you know, the couple of years ago when it would be, you know, it really felt like it was American Horror Story and Flanagan that was propping up our TV.
Yeah.
You know, whereas now we've just got all of these offshoots that have been incredibly enjoyable, and yeah, just I need to watch that season of American Horror Story that we missed. Like, I really do need to go back and watch it.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned both of them, really, because, yeah, the American Horror Story Delicate, which is the 12th season, I believe, starts on September 20th, so just in a few weeks, just before all of this. And then, obviously, Flanagan's show, the House of the Fall of Usher, is around that time as well. I think that's towards the end of October on Netflix. So, yeah, we've got all of this stuff, really. Like, yeah, it's difficult. Like, I really want to... It's difficult now because I don't want to just binge watch an entire season of American Horror Story this close to this season. So, like, maybe I'll just dive into this one, you know, with it having an interesting cast and stuff. Like, I don't know. But, like, I'm so excited for all three of these other things. I think if that was just our Halloween, that would be it for me. Because it's funny how, you know, we're going to have cinema horror, and there's a reason why we're just not really that too jazzed about it at the minute, because there's just been a lot of stuff we don't really care about. But I think it's the case of finding your niche, is that there's always going to be stuff that appeals to us. And definitely right now, I'm so excited for VHS and Creepshow and Chucky and the return of Flanagan. That, like, you know, there's going to be an Exorcist movie. Like, I don't, you know, it's not for me. Like, and that's fine. There's plenty of other things to choose from.
Yeah, but I think even, like, I think the Exorcist trailer looked good. Like, I'm not against that.
Yeah.
Like, we've got Saw, which looks on paper to be very exciting. So, like, we've definitely got exciting cinema to get to this Halloween.
Yeah, well, Saw's really close.
Yeah, Saw's very close. And I think, you know, I'm... I'm like ready for The Exorcist. Like, I'm ready to be disappointed. I kind of like, you know, of all the franchises like the in that genre that I don't like, seeing like The Exorcist come back is something where I'm like, okay, like it's, yeah, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one.
I think it'll disappoint me, but you know, I'm ready to be disappointed.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I can't be disappointed because I don't care. You know, like, I can only be wowed by it, which is a great position to be in. But yeah, and then lastly, there is just one small hit here before we get into this week's film, which is the Arrow video continuing to just be fantastic, really. I think this is, to me, this has been like such a resurgence for them this year. Obviously, that Hellraiser box set is like a dream come true. But this one is awesome. So coming in November, at the end of November, we're getting Tremors 2, which is also on 4K. And so, yeah, they've now got the first two Tremors movies, which is absolutely sensational. And I really, this is one of those few franchises that, like, I really don't know on any given day which one I prefer, because I love both the Tremors 1 and 2, and, like, I think I prefer 2, just because of, like, what they added to the lore and that kind of, you know, those different monsters that are in 2, I found to be so interesting. The fact that they, like, heat seek and stuff, it's awesome. But I know Tremors 1 is a lot more grounded and scary, whereas 2 is a lot more funny, but I really like them both.
One has the nod for me most days, but I do love 2.
Yeah, 1 is, like, clearly the superior made film, for sure. Like, better acting, story, and, like, it is genuinely scary, whereas I think 2 is clearly the, you know, let's open this up, and it becomes more about Bert being a comedic character, which is great, and obviously carries the franchise for a while until that awful abomination of the last film. Yeah, it's a great one. Like, I just love that they're doing stuff like this, and they're getting more sequels to franchises, which is exciting, because Arrow typically haven't had that. You know, we even talked about the fact that, what was it, all those Psycho movies in one box set as well. Like, they're really doing madness with the box set. So, and there isn't a box set yet for this one, but, like, you gotta get these two together. That would be great, because I'm sure they still have Tremors, because that only came out, what, last year on 4K?
Yeah.
Then who knows, they maybe had it for like a year.
because
this is only just 2 on its own for now, but that's all that matters, really, as long as it's like I say, it's in 4K, so it's gonna look insane for the first time as well. But yeah, shall we talk about this week's film?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about The Last Voyage of the Demeter. So yeah, this is featured in the news. I remember where, it was in our upcoming movies, wasn't it, at the start of the year?
It was. I think that's where the inception of us talking about this was from.
Yeah, always exciting. And, you know, a very interesting premise, a cool one that is surprisingly, at least to my knowledge, not really been explored before. Where this is kind of a captain's log, which is like a chapter in the original Dracula novel. That kind of talks about this voyage where Dracula is, you know, being transported to England, and kind of what happened on that voyage.
And
that's so cool. And we have seen, there was that one episode of the Dracula TV show that was set on a boat, which was probably the best episode. And kind of clearly was inspired by that. And yeah, we've seen some other things. Like, it's one of those interesting things now that you see, like, the original source material, because I've clearly seen a lot of things inspired by this.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen a lot of things on a boat where it's like, oh, that's what, you know, I didn't realize that it was inspired by this, and now we're actually seeing the original, as it were. So yeah, very cool setup, and it's been like a mini resurgence, I guess, for Dracula projects, with obviously we got to see Renfield earlier this year, the TV show.
You know, when we had the upcoming horror list, it was like, is this the start of something? Are we going to get more? Because is it Nightbreed or something like that that's also getting a remake?
Oh, is there? Yeah, like, is this going to be the next boom for vampires?
Something like that. Yeah, and it was like, oh, okay, like, I'm very ready for vampire movies, and I'm kind of completely on board with these. You know, werewolves, vampires, these monster movies making a resurgence like that, I think it could be great. And in particular, vampires, like, I'm not stale on them anymore. And even watching, you know, we watched Vampire in Brooklyn for our Wes Craven, and it was like, oh yeah, like, I like vampires, Dracula, whatever you want to call him. I like them as this sophisticated, you know, charming man that's kind of enticing people that way. I like him as a stripped back kind of just monster or demon and anywhere in between, you know. And I think kind of, you know, I rewatched Midnight Mass recently and like seeing all of that stuff, and I'm just like, yeah, I really kind of like all aspects of vampires, I think, right now. And yeah, it's definitely something that, like, if I know the movie's about that, I'm kind of more sold straight away. But this isn't a little movie.
No. Like,
this is, I mean, have you looked at the budget of this? Because this movie's got to be very expensive.
Yeah, I've got it in front of me now. I thought you was referring to the runtime.
Well, the runtime too, but just the, you know, this movie screams expensive to me.
Yes, and it is. But yeah, this is absolutely a modern day horror film because it clocks in just under 2 hours. And also randomly has a $45 million budget.
Jesus.
Which, and you rightly say, like, this feels large. It doesn't feel like most horror films we see.
No.
It feels more like a fantasy big action film. You know, like, it's the way it starts and is presented, it really felt like an Assassin's Creed type thing to me.
It was almost the start of Titanic. You know,
yeah, it was so funny with the gambling and him trying to get on the boat and everything. Yeah,
just all of that, and it felt, you know, and it was very bright and vivid and clearly expensive. You know, I say, this movie just oozed like money for me as I was watching it, and then in the opening, it wowed me. You know, in the first 10 minutes of this movie, the Demeter looked fantastic. Seeing it on the open waters just looked clearly expensive and good. You know, I was enjoying seeing a cast of people that I kind of recognize from different things, and we kind of get the setup because where are they sailing from? Romania.
Yeah.
So they're kind of Romania to England, and they're kind of a cargo ship, and it's a ship. It's a crew of what, 7 or 8, something like that. You know, if they get to England within a certain time frame, they get a bonus for kind of, you know, getting there so quickly. So there's kind of like all this kind of just camaraderie of the ship crew with our kind of our lead, is it Clemens?
Yeah.
Who is kind of the new recruit, if you like, which, you know, I did find his character weird, how he does kind of make his way on the crew, and it just felt so convenient where I was waiting throughout this movie for there to be like some sort of heel turn as to why he did get on so conveniently, but instead he is just this, you know, reasonably generic kind of like just lead character that's just like, oh yeah, I'm going to be the nice guy in most situations.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to be, I'm Van Helsing.
yeah, me too. That's exactly what I was waiting for. And even at the end,
we don't have, like, the rights to that.
Like, not even like, I don't want to get to the very end, but like at the, I was just like, I almost had to like, I did want to Google, like, I did have to look up his name again, being like, was he meant to be? I don't think he was, but was he? It's like, no, I don't know. I don't know enough about Dracula lore to know whether Clemens means something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But the first kind of 10 or 15 minutes did like, you know, it set up the movie well for me, where I was like, okay, I'm kind of sold on this voyage, and I know that Dracula's popping up at some point, and when he does, I'm excited to see that. And then kind of as we started to get the Dracula reveal, and we got this, you know, clearly there's going to be a night day cycle with Dracula because of all the lore that we know around him, but it became so apparent in this movie. And I do think I ended up enjoying this movie, but I think mainly because I wanted to watch a vampire movie really badly, and I don't think this is a particularly good one. It just scratched that itch more than anything, because I think the thing that frustrated me the most was the budget that was used on some truly awful CGI. Mm. A lot of the action, in particular, anything that involved blood with the vampire, was just done so badly with CGI. You know, we had some fire scenes that were also awful CG.
Yeah.
I'm not the one that does this. You're the one that does this, like, that calls out CG mostly. Like, I'm, like, often these days, like, not taken out of it by it, but this movie really took me out of it, where I just found that all the scenes, I just think with a vampire, and especially, like, these days with, like, the amount of, like prosthetic flesh that we've seen, like, being ripped from bodies in low budget horror movies, I'm like, man, to see this just be this glossy CG that just doesn't look real. And, you know, it did take me out of it a lot. And, you know, I think with this one, they were, you know, I knew, you know, the movie starts with the ship kind of, you know, crashing at Whitby. I know that's where Dracula ends up. I kind of, you know, I know that by the end of this movie, that's the end game. So I'm not invested in the characters, and I'm not fussed that I'm not invested in the characters. I just want them to get, like, wrecked in really good ways. And ultimately they didn't. And I just kind of was like, oh, I kind of just enjoyed the boat and, like, seeing them out on sea and seeing that struggle of being out on sea, I think was the thing that I enjoyed probably most of the movie. And the actual kind of, you know, the vampire stuff and everything else was just like, it was fine. But I think I was frustrated by the movie. The runtime was too long, but I still kind of liked it because I just wanted to watch some vampires. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Like, I totally get that. This for me was just like so many films we've seen this year, and it's frustrating because I just wished I'd had like a different opinion. But
it could have been so much better, couldn't it?
Yeah, and that's like how many times have we said that this year? When you come out of a movie that isn't bad, but it's not great, and it's fine, but it's a $45 million 2-hour fine that is, you know, has good parts, and I agree with you that it starts off so strong. I think just like immediately setting up a place and a time, it was so believable. Like, I kind of immediately was in that world, in this time period, being like, oh yeah, like, this is a big trip on this journey on this boat. And like, you forget how insane those sorts of journeys were, that like, you really would have to bring all this livestock and be super prepared and have a well orchestrated crew and captain to like pull off these major journeys on these ships. And so I was like so invested in all of that stuff, and I thought it all looked great. Like I say, like, the actual just look and feel of the boat, it felt lived in and like dirty.
Great, didn't it? Like, it just looks so rotten and like, just well weathered. Yeah,
like, they nailed that part, because I say this, the name of the boat is in the name of the film, and so like, and they needed to nail that, and the Demeter did feel like a character, and it is the best character in the film. So I feel like that part is nailed, and then you have to then go straight to, well, then there's Dracula, and so that's when you start getting into some problems already, let alone the fact that there's a complete lack of any sort of other interest in protagonist. But Dracula is an issue because he is just so shrouded in darkness throughout the movie, and they really don't want to show anything, which is, again, just such a pet peeve of mine. And, it, you know, it's fine if you're going to want to build up to it, but I feel like I've watched a two-hour movie that I never really got those kill scenes. Like you say, they show stuff, and it's either off camera, or it's a bit too dark, or it's too focused on CG and kind of cuts away, and it feels like a movie that was probably butchered to get a certain age rating as well. Like, it feels extremely soft. I can't imagine this was anything stronger than a 12A, and even that feels like this is like almost PG, because there's just nothing really. Like there's a couple of neck stuff with a bit of blood that's like, I'm sure, well, you know, if you've never seen a horror movie before, might get a rise out of you. But
I was going to say, there's one where you get a really opened up neck, so it certainly wouldn't be getting like this is definitely a 15.
Oh, do you think it's 15?
That scene alone, I think.
Yeah, well, there's, I don't want to spoil one thing, but there's one thing with a certain character that I didn't expect, that was like, oh shit, you're doing this. And it's something that we talk a lot about. Like, I almost want to say it, but it is a mild spoiler, so I won't. But it's something that a lot of, well, it's to do with a kid. And like, a lot of films, horror films, don't ever want to do stuff with kids. You know, no. they tease it, like, you know, a certain M. Night movie earlier this year, and they shy away from it. And whereas this kind of does it, and I was shocked.
Yeah,
in that
moment. I was quite shocked.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit, like, because the second you see a kid in a movie like this, you're like, well, they're living till the end. They're like, they're the banker. I'm like, if I had to predict, I'd say our lead protagonist will like do a hero's death to save this kid at the end. Yeah. And the fact that middle act, that's put on its head, I was like, oh shit, that's cool. So yeah, I didn't see that coming. So that was cool. But yeah, it just kind of exists. I think that was my problem with it, is that it's okay. And then you're going, okay, I'm 40 minutes into an okay film. Now I'm an hour. Now I'm an hour 20 minutes. And nothing has progressed. We were in this dark place where once we've established, okay, Dracula's on this boat. And guess what? He's going to start fucking people up. And that's probably the next 40 minutes until we get to, like, then the kind of the finale. And those scenes should have been the most thrilling and exciting. Like I said, like, that's what I signed up for. Especially, it was already what I signed up for, but then the way it's presented in the movie, where we see the Demeter in Whitby, and they're like, there's no one alive, they're all dead. You know, like, they do that classic horror movie thing. It's like, okay, cool, you told me they're all dead, now show me Dracula wrecking people.
In a really great way.
Yeah, like, that'll fill the next hour, and I'll have a great time. And that's just unfortunate. Again, it's not terrible, it's not bad, some of the stuff's fine, but I just wanted a bit more. I wanted cooler Dracula. Some of it's great, like, I think some of the flying stuff in particular, and that's where you have to use CG and it's used well, I think. Ooh. Those scenes are cool. Like, I always love when Dracula, or, you know, is more of a, like, say, a creature or a monster, rather than just a dude who sucks on people's necks. So I think those are really cool, because he's just this monster flying around the sky. And that's when he feels like he's at his most dangerous, and that's cool. But then there are other scenes where he is just creeping through like hallways, and it's CG, and it's like, it doesn't need to be. Like, you've got a cool actor, a guy who's known for doing creature effects and stuff, playing this iconic role, and like, let him do it. And they, but it just feels like they never really did. So that was frustrating to me. But yeah, what did you think, I guess, of like how it was building up to the Dracula reveal? Because obviously we get like the stowaway first, don't we?
Yeah, well, I just think the whole movie just, you know, was weirdly paced, you know, because it did feel like it was trying to give us this epic voyage, like, you know, opening 10 or 15 minutes that I think we were both completely sold on. Like, I was the same as you, where I, like, when they show this livestock and they're like, oh, yeah, and I was like, shit, yeah, they've got to have a whole, like, area of the boat dedicated to livestock, because they need to eat these animals over the course of this, you know, month's journey and stuff. And it was like, yeah, this is really, you know, I'm sold on this. It was, you know, it's a bit like when we watched, what the hell am I thinking of? The Viking movie. God, why can't I remember the name?
Oh, The Northman.
Northman, thank you. Like, when we watched Northman, and I was like, oh, I'm just fully involved in the Viking world. Yeah. And I was fully involved in this world of being like stuck on a ship for 3 months. And then yeah, when they just, you know, the whole like, we've got some dodgy crates, I'm like, well, clearly he's in them. And I'm like, cool. And like, we'll see him at some point. And I just, yeah, I felt like they were like, it was almost like they were trying to make out like we've never seen Dracula before.
Mm.
And it was like, you've not got a different take on him. You've gone for the monster look as opposed to the charming dude. I'm like, cool, yeah, I like the demon monster look of Dracula. I've seen it before. I've seen it lots of times. You don't have to hide it from me for an hour and a half. You know, you didn't turn around and give me a new Dracula. And I don't need you to. So don't try to give me that kind of mystique. And then it was just the weird use of CG, because I thought the boat looked great. You know, the boat on the water and everything to do with that. You know, all was good, and when they're climbing and all the ropes and all the sails and that, and yeah, the same as you. When Dracula's airborne, I think it's great. You know, it really adds a different element. And I think the fact that they're trapped on this boat in the middle of an ocean and he can like fly around it, And, like, we see characters that try to, like, escape from the boat, and, like, Dracula just has you. So then the characters realize that, like, right, we're trapped on this boat. We need to kill him and attack him on this boat. And it was like, and you know, we had about, I think it was over half an hour left when they were really gearing up for the end game battle, where they're like, oh, we've got this plan and we're gonna execute this plan. And it was like, oh, okay, what's your plan? And they're like, well, we're all just going to kind of like stand around with guns and put the woman on deck. And I'm like, really? That's your fucking plan? I was like, and I was so disappointed, where it was just so boring and generic, where it was like, yeah, we're just going to put her out on the boat, and then we're just going to like all talk to her and each other with guns. And when he rocks up, we'll just kind of like shoot him. And I was like, come on. Like,
yeah.
You know, and especially when we know, like, you know, we've gone deep into the fact that people set on fire the second daylight comes and stuff. I was like, aren't you going to try and do something clever with that? Like, trap him or use fire or something? And, like, I think the fact that the boat is kind of, you know, because for me as well, like, when one of the characters is tied to the mast and, like, sets ablaze in daylight, I was scared for the boat. Weren't you? Or, you know, where I'm just like, holy fuck, this wooden boat is just going to catch on fire. And they were just like, nah, it's cool. Like, yeah, he just combusted whilst attached to our mast. That was no problem at all. And like, I kind of wish that they had have used that more, where it was like, oh yeah, we could burn him, but like, we'll risk burning the boat as well. And like, can we use fire against Dracula, but not sink this ship, you know, and have this kind of dynamic backwards and forwards. But in the end, it was, yeah, we're just going to hide around a corner with some guns. So yeah, there's just so many missed opportunities for me with this. And then that coupled with I really dislike the most of the kills in this because of the overuse of CG. Where, you know, I really have to realize that I want to see Dracula movies, and so I'm kind of, you know, enjoying it because of that. And actually, yeah, I think this movie is well made. You know, it's not a shit show. It's not a bad movie, but it just had the potential to be so much more. And like you, I'm just so sick and tired of saying that.
But yeah,
we have to call it out when it's true. And it's like, especially when you've got something like this, where you have got this cool, you know, this cool captain's log from this classic novel that you've got the rights to and can embellish on. And just, that's such a cool nugget that you've got to make a movie about. I love it. And I just feel like they missed the mark with it and just made something that was quite, you know, generic. And, you know, every character in this movie was lame. You know, I think the captain was fine. Like, I think he served the purpose as like the captain, but I really liked our lead kind of male and female. I really disliked them. Like, I think Clemens was really boring and just didn't make sense in this world. This kind of education as a doctor, but you know, trying to get on the ship, and you know, that felt weird for the time. And then they talk about his, you know, problems, you know, with the color of his skin and everything very later and on in the movie, and that just felt like crowbarred in, and you know, just none of that really felt like I was invested in him as a character. Anna was just completely throwaway. You know, she was effectively just a vessel for Dracula to eat off. You know, there was no need for her. And I think kind of the second in command to the captain, we've seen him. I can't think of the actor's name, but he's in a ton of stuff, and he's always really fascinating and always really dark and used well. This was the worst movie I've ever seen him in terms of his, like, not his performance, just his character that he was given just sucked for him.
Yeah,
like, he just didn't fit him at all. Like, to the point that I had to like again search, and I was like, oh, that is that dude. Like, I wasn't sure whether it was just someone that looked like him.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. I always struggle to pronounce his surname. It's David Dastmalchian, I think. And he's been in literally everything from, like, Dune and Blade Runner and Suicide Squad and Ant-Man. He was in Boogeyman earlier this year. He was in Oppenheimer, because everyone was. Dark Knight. Yeah. So, like, he's one of these character actors that is just phenomenal in these small bit parts, traditionally. Mm-hmm. But then, he is such a waste of a character in this film, where, like I say, there's the captain, and it's like his nephew or his grandson or something.
I think it might be his grandson, from how he described.
It's like they have characters, and then like everyone else, like Clemens, and like I say is Anna and stuff, I mean Clemens is a terrible lead character. I was waiting for the injection of character, where it was like Hez, you know, he's got on this ship and he's clearly told some bullshit. And even, I don't know if I've just forgot this already, having seen this a day ago, but like when he's trying to get onto the ship initially, he's like carrying a bunch of shit with him that like they keep showing, like, you know, under a tarp or whatever it is. Do we ever find out, like, has he got anything with him that's important, or is that just his stuff?
I think he's just like meant to be because he's just like a doctor.
Yeah, but it, like I say, that felt pointed, where he's trying to get on this ship for a reason, and doing so, he's carrying a bunch of shit that they keep making a point to show. So, like I say, I was expecting the, haha, I know Dracula's hair, and here's my special Dracula killing machine that I've created.
Like, yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
So it was very weird that we never got any of those reveals, and again, in a two-hour film, to not have any of those revelations. Once we get to, there's a stowaway, her name's Anna, she's here to be fed on by Dracula, and oh shit, here's this creature, how do we kill it? There's nothing else, is there, after that? There's never, like, another thing that gets added, of, like, we're running out of food, so we need to get off, or, you know, even them having the, they kind of do, but it would have been cool if they'd have had it more of a issue, if they'd had the conversation of, like, do we just go down with the ship? Like, if we get to England, he could kill everyone in England.
Yeah, so I would have liked that, because they touched upon it briefly, and then I was like,
And I think that would have been such a cool way to do this film, where, like, they would have really been like, no, we're gonna do that. We're gonna go down with the ship, and then left it open-ended, where it's like, because obviously we get the reveal at the start that everyone's dead. And so that would have been cool. That would have been a nice little twist on it, to be like, yeah, everyone's dead, but like half those people chose to die because they wanted to kill the greater thing.
Especially if they were like, Dracula doesn't know how to sail this ship. Like, he can't do this. He can't do this shit. So like, if we don't get him there, he won't get there. Yeah. And, you know, we could have had like some Hawkeye Black Widow shit going on when they're all just like trying to. It would have been great. It's a really difficult subject to touch upon, but I do find it weird as well that, like, with Clemens, the whole kind of race angle that they went with, where it's like, when is this movie set? What year?
Like the late 1800s.
Yeah, I'm like, I find it difficult that, like, if they're going to play that, if they're going to make it, like, realistic, they need to play it harder, don't you think?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, someone to have that level of education, he's like, oh yeah, my dad's a deckhand, was on deckhand on the ship, but I was trained to be a doctor at Cambridge. And I'm like, I'm not buying that for that time, and like for what we know, how horrific the world was then with this sort of thing. And then just to have like, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, if you want to make a movie where we just don't touch upon that, I get it. And that's fine, but then when you do touch upon it, and the crew members kind of say the odd little comment that's a bit like, you know, not great, and then he touches upon how he couldn't get work and stuff because of it, and I'm like, I just didn't believe any of it. Like I say, I think you either just don't reference it and just be like, cool, that's, you know, we're not touching this, or you've got to make it feel more realistic as to what it would have been like back then, and just kind of doing this, it just felt like. They felt like they had to put some stuff in, and so they did, and it just felt very, very, very tame for what it would have been at that point.
Yeah, they just used it as a very small element of his backstory, which I think I agree with you. It's
in the 1800s, that wouldn't have been the case.
Yeah, like, you either sell that as an actual, you know, realistic thing that happened and make it all about that, or you just don't reference it. It's weird to kind of be like, ah, we know that this is in a time period where this would have been difficult for someone like this, so we'll reference it very slightly. But I agree with you, it still seems like it left me asking more questions, where I was like, okay, but how does this happen and how does this happen, rather than you could have just not touched upon it, like you say. And it's also, I don't think this is, like what we both said, like it, this isn't what this film's going for at all. Like it really is just like it feels like they put it in there because they knew people would ask that question, and that's like one of the worst ways to write a character. Yeah. Is if the only reason why you're putting in the film is to stop certain questions, because all you're doing is now raising other questions, like that classic example. So
it just becomes muddled, like the whole, like I say, his whole backstory of his dad being his deckhand, and you know, him like, you know, being trained, and then his whole thing where he's like, and then just away from that when. His whole thing where he's like, I just want to understand the world. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And there was that really funny, you know, it made me laugh, and it shouldn't have, where they're all sat around the table and they're like, oh, you know, we're getting a big payday from this if we get to dock early. What are you going to do with all this money? And like, one of them's like, oh, I'm going to get a haircut and a nice suit. One of them's like, I'm going to go to the brothel. And then he's just like, oh, I just want to understand the world, you know, like, you know. You know, the world's just such a confusing place, and wouldn't it be great to understand it? I mean, that's what all men want, right? And everyone around the table just looks at him like, fuck are you talking about? And then one of them just goes, well, I'll have your share then.
Yeah.
It proper made me laugh, because I was like, what is he talking about? Like,
it's really weird now, because now the more I think about it, he feels like a time traveler.
Yeah.
Where he actually doesn't feel like he's in this time period at all. Like,
you're right, because he's, the way he talks as well.
He feels so modern. Like he looks and sounds straight out of 2023. But he's put into this world, and it's almost like he's pretending. Like, oh, how would someone of this time period act? He's like, oh yeah, I'm really well educated, but like I can't get a job because, you know, it's bad for me. And like, it is weird. Like, there's some. I feel like there's an entire element to this character that they just forgot to put in the film. Because there's so many things they could have done as like a twist on a twist, where, you know, he could have been the classic vampire killer, or he could have been friendly. He could have been the familiar of the story, and it could have been a twist of that, of like, no, there's a reason why I'm out to explore the world, is because I, you know, I want to become immortal like Dracula, and then I can spend my entire life exploring every, you know, world and every timeline ever. Like, that would have been an interesting twist on it as well. And instead it just became, I'm generic protagonist and I'm going to save the girl to save the day. Like,
yeah. And like this whole connection that he had, like with her, where they were just trying to, it wasn't like romantic, but it was just like this whole, like, I must save you. She was such a
damsel in distress. That part really annoyed me, because it was like, oh, they really watched Midnight Mass, didn't they? And they're just trying, they're trying to do this cringy version. It's so funny that you'd already mentioned Midnight Mass, because that's what I was thinking about a couple of times watching this film, and how I was like, man, they did such a good job of, like what we keep saying, finding, you know, you've got this rule set of this creature, and it's so exciting, and that's why I'll never get sick of vampire stuff, because there's literally an unlimited amount of ways you can take a vampire story. And Midnight Mass is just another example of, like, the way, you know, use the creature's weaknesses against it, for Christ's sake. Like I say, they never really think in this film, when we were talking about the finale, and, like, all of the ways they could have went, well, should we destroy the boat? Should we do this? Do we do fire? Do we trap it? And it's like, they never really have these conversations.
Well, no, you think, literally, if they'd have burnt the boat down when they were, like, a week away from any island.
Yeah.
The sun's coming up, he's fucked.
Yeah.
So then they have to make a decision. Do we all die, or do we, you know, or what? And that would have been a great, juxtaposition, but they kind of just didn't want to reference
That would have been so good, because, like, think about it. You'd have other crew members. So let's say, like, David's character, he could be selfish and be like, I'm not going to kill myself. And then you've obviously got a child involved as well. So they could be like, well, look, we can't do this because there's a child involved. It's like, God, there's so much there that could really be, like, that should have been the crux of this film, is, like, at night, they're scared because this monster is going to pick them off one by one. But during the day, when they know they're safe, they're having these actual proper conversations about, like, okay, how do we actually deal with this problem?
And that's what I found myself doing throughout this movie, because I was thinking about The Thing quite a bit.
Yeah, I kept thinking about The Thing as well. Yeah, because I was thinking, like, man, a version of The Thing where, so during the day, you could potentially have Dracula undercover as one of these crew members as well. Like, I know that would be a lot harder to pull off because of certain rules.
In the TV show, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's awesome to be like, okay, one of us is the creature, but we don't know who. Yeah, like, that would be sick as well.
And I had this whole, like, 10-15 minutes where I was just thinking about The Thing, and I was like, man, it would be great if it was this kind of, you know, them on this boat, because, you know, that was the whole thing with The Thing, where they're like, oh yeah, we want to get rescued, but also we can't rescue an infected. So do we just all fucking die, or can we be certain that we're rescued and not bringing this back to civilization?
Yeah.
And that's the same with this, where, like, you know, they could be like, right, we need to just burn this ship to the ground. And they're like, no, let's figure out, let's kill it. And then, like, they think they've killed it. And they're like, oh, okay, well, let's crack on, go to England. Now we think it's dead. And, like, it's not. And, yeah, it just, there were just so many things like that. And I think as well, like, ultimately at the end of it, when we get to, like, the final scenes, and it just felt like they were crowbarring so much in to create a sequel or to create this world, or maybe just to, like, you know, paint the picture towards the rest of the novel that they're inspired by. But I'm like, all of it just triggered me.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I just wanted all of these fuckers to die on the boat. We know Dracula's not going to die. And if anyone survives, cool, but they can just go live their life. Like, you know, I didn't need there to be this, like, it felt like a cliffhanger at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like, so obviously a cliffhanger that we're never going to see, and I don't want to see it either.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to see. So I just was all round frustrated by the last 5 minutes of this movie.
I was as well, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much done talking about it.
I'm more angry
as we've carried on talking about it.
The final thing I wanted to say was that this director is someone that this is his third movie that we've now covered, Andrei Ovredal. And, yeah, the first one of those three being Autopsy of Jane Doe in our first year in 2016, that we absolutely loved in our top 10. And then he followed that up with Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark in 2019, which was good as well. Mm. Not great, but it was good, and definitely had potential for a sequel. And then I think he did another movie that's not a horror film, and now he's done this. So it's like, to me anyway, this is a massive step down from those two. Obviously, in particular, Jane Doe. I think it's crazy to think that the same person did this. Yeah, because that is like a micro budget film where and it's scary as hell. And there's, like I say, there's nothing about this film that's scary. Whereas this is a big budget film that is, it's oozing with money, but it feels like a lot of it is just wasted in places that they really didn't need to spend it. And it really is a bloated film as well. To spend that much money and to come up with a 2-hour film that could have easily been 70 minutes, and it's frustrating. For recommendations, I can't recommend this. Like I say, it's unfortunately, I'd put this in with about probably a dozen films I've seen this year now that are like, it's okay. It's totally fine. But it doesn't ever really get to good, and it's certainly never like atrocious. But it just, when you see a middle of the road film, by the end of 2 hours, there's reason to be pissed off. And now when you then have to spend another nearly hour talking about it, you're going to end up focusing on a lot of the negatives, which we've done. And I think that's fair enough. But like, that's just that's the aim of the game, is like, you need to come out of these films feeling excited to talk about them. Like, think about how many films that's happened with. You know, stuff like Talk to Me, that's like, it's great when you're watching it, but I was equally excited to hear your thoughts on it and go over our favorite moments and just relive it, because it adds to the experience. So then the runtime doesn't become an issue. Whereas this is like, God, for this to be 2 hours is painful. There really needs to be a stopping point. I know we talk a lot about runtime, but this is getting to be ridiculous now. That, like, films like this just coming out, I think my main point of contention is that it's the norm. This doesn't bat an eyelid being 2 hours. People are like, yep, that makes sense. And I'm like, no, that we need to stop. Like, we need to normalize 80-minute horror films again. Like, those were the good old days of 80-minute horror films. And that is, we are so far. Where is that extra 40 minutes gone? And how many movies actually earn that extra 40 minutes? They really fucking don't. So, yeah, that really frustrates me.
Yeah, I mean, that was a long recommendation or non-recommendation.
Yeah, the answer's no.
This is recommendations, right? Yeah, I wouldn't recommend this either. Like I said, I think in the end, I want to see Dracula movies and vampire movies, so at least I got something out of it because of that. But this really does overstay its welcome. It wastes its budget. It really does with the CG. Like, the boat stuff does look amazing. Like, the highlight is the boat and that side of it, and the voyage, and the problem is that the low points of this is the vampire and the Dracula stuff and all of that stuff. I don't recommend this either, and it is a shame, and it really does feel like a missed opportunity, because this isn't a pile of trash. It's certainly not a pile of trash. But this just, it is just a very middle of the road movie. You know, this, you know, if we had a, you know, 10, 20 point scoring system that we give, this would just be down the middle. You know, this would be a 5 out of 10. And that's sometimes the worst to have to watch, like you say, because it's just, it's frustrating then, because more often than not, if you see a movie that's 5 out of 10, it has the potential to be much more. And I think this does, you know, it is, yeah, it is just frustrating.
And we've seen so many films that I would give that score to this year in particular. Yeah, I think that's what's so frustrating. Yeah, it's just the year of meh, like, and that's the worst part. And also, having had a little mini break, and coming back after, you know, 2 weeks away, like, felt so excited and be like, man, you know, Bo is Afraid was the last film we saw, which feels like it was a lifetime ago now. And to come back and be like, okay, we got certain films we could have picked, you know, there's at least probably 4 or 5. And this was easily the one that we were both the most excited for.
I was buzzed that this was an option. And also, like, yeah, coming off the back of Bo is Afraid, for a movie to feel long.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't think a movie would feel long for a long time after watching that movie. And then suddenly we go straight into this one. I'm like, nah, this was still long.
I know, straight into the unnecessary 2 hours, It's frustrating for sure. But yeah, that was our discussion of The Last Voyage of the Demeter. I will take a quick break and we will be right back. So yeah, that's pretty much it for another week. I did want to just briefly mention, because it's so random and it's so horror focused as well, because we don't really talk about games that much, but like, my favorite game currently, and the game that I'm just completely addicted to, is based upon one of the most favorite or the most beloved horror films of all time. Which is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I love this game so much. I've nearly got 50 hours in it already, and it's, I think it's outstanding. Like, it's, if people don't know about this game, it's a multiplayer game, so you have kind of two sides. You can either play a victim or one of the killers of the family. So it's four victims versus three killers. And it's so well balanced on both sides, I think, is that's the craziest thing about it, is that typically these types of games, like Dead by Daylight being the clearly the king of this genre, has been the only one that survived more than a year or two. I think it's coming up to like 7 years now, but that's 4v1, and a lot of these other ones have floated around. Like, I can't remember what that Predator game was, so I completely forgot that was even a thing.
There's been so many of them, and yeah, this one just really feels like it's got the balancing right, which is really nice.
Yeah, like I say, there's been a lot of these that have tried to do this, where you know, Evil Dead, Predator, Friday the 13th stuck around for a little bit, whereas this one I think is outstanding, and I really hope it has legs, because the actual core gameplay on both sides is so much fun. Like I say, I'm having a blast with it. I just want them to keep expanding. There's a few bugs they need to sort out, like, you know, in a lot of online games, and they need to just continue to add to it, because I think the potential is there, and it's... The authenticity to the original movie, I think, is outstanding. Yeah. The way the characters look and sound. I mean, they've got the original, the original voiceover guy from The Hitchhiker, and I think that's one of the best things in the game, because it just looks and sounds exactly how he looks and sounds in that original film. But, like, even in the house, just being in every room and seeing all the bone piles, and it's really awesome. Like, as someone who...
This game just really wanted me to watch the first movie again.
Yeah, I'm currently rewatching it. And it's wild to see, where you're like, oh my god, like, this exact window frame is in the exact spot. And it's like, it really didn't need to be that one-for-one. Because ultimately, they should have just made a fun game, which is exactly what they've done as well. So yeah, if you're into games, you know, it's a difficult ask, because you'd have to be into like multiplayer games and stuff. But yeah, I recommend people check it out, because this wasn't on my radar at all. Like, I knew it was a thing that was coming out, and I'd seen footage of it prior to it coming out, and I was like, oh yeah, it's another one of these games that I won't like. Because there's a Killer Clowns from Outer Space game coming that's a similar vibe that looks hilarious. I think it's like 6v5 or something wild, or maybe 7v5. But even here, and this is like a 4v3, I'm like, how is that going to work and feel balanced? Like, either one side's going to be overpowered or one side's going to feel shit. But it's like, no, it's both is awesome. I've been equally playing both and having a great time. So yeah, it's awesome to see this weird, and I also hope it continues into next year, because obviously it's the 50th anniversary of the original film next year.
So yeah, I really hope it keeps the legs.
Yeah, like hopefully they can do a big thing for the 50th anniversary, and they've already got like most of the stuff from the first film, but obviously the potential to add like Chop Top, and if you get to like the Franklin remake and stuff, yeah, like yeah, Franklin in some capacity would be amazing. I just want to see Bill Mosley in the game more than anything.
I want to see Bill Mosley, but I really just think Franklin is like a huge opportunity for these games to try to do something a bit different, and especially with what his character was. I mean, it's difficult to do like these days to not make it feel very un-PC, but I just, and I think that's why they've stayed away from it.
Yeah. Reaching the film, it's crazy how like it starts and he's just pissing in this can and he like rolls down the hill. And like, it is like, say, there's a lot of things where I bet they looked at it and went, nah, we're not even going to touch that.
Yeah.
With
like, nah, we're not in 2023. We're not touching that. No, thanks. No. But I would like to see them try to do it in a way that you know, didn't, you know, felt like it was true to the original, but yeah, maybe not quite as cringe, but yeah, it is a really good game.
Yeah, you've been playing it as well, haven't you? Enjoying it?
Yeah, I've been playing it a bit. Yeah, I've been enjoying it. Like, it's definitely one where I'll kind of touch base with it and want to give it more time. It's one that it just feels like it's deep enough that people can go insane and put 50 hours into it, like super quick, and way more hours as well. And it does also feel like a game that you can just casually play and have a good time with.
Yeah.
Like I didn't need to know all the shit I needed to do. I could just run around as killers and have a good time and run around and try not to get killed and have a good time. So yeah, I think they've done a good job with it for sure.
Yeah, it's great. It's really one of those games that I just didn't think would be one of my favorites of the year. This random multiplayer game based upon the original movie. And it really has reminded me how much I love that film, because
it's one of the best.
Yeah, well, I mean, we always say, like, when we've kind of ever been asked and stuff and talked about, like, the greatest of all time, we always mention that as one of, let's say, 6 to 8 films that is in contention. But it's because of the franchise that I became so, like, fallen out of it, really, over time.
Yeah.
And it's similar with what I've said of Nightmare on Elm Street, really, where I'm like, if the other ones didn't exist, I think people would view it differently. And it's nice to be reminded of, like, no, just ignore all that other shit. It's fine if you want to enjoy parts of it, and I certainly do as well, but if you just view that original movie for what it is, it's still one of the most authentic films, let alone horror films, ever made. Like, I just don't think you'll ever recapture magic like that ever again. It's similar to like a Blair Witch for me, where I look at both those films in a similar lens of like, that's such a time and a place. That movie had to have came out in 1974. Like, you just couldn't do that.
ECM is
now
just so unique. You know, even though it is just like, oh yeah, it's just some killers killing people, it's like, no, it's just so much about the family and the setting and the authenticity of, you know, the way it was shot and the hell that they were put through. You know, you could only make that movie when movies were getting made back then with this micro budget, and people just wanted to make a cool thing. And, you know, these actors were just like, oh, I want to make, you know, they got paid nothing for that movie.
Yeah.
They just wanted to make a movie, and they did. So yeah, it's crazy. I did just want to mention a couple of things, a really quick, PSA that Last Night in Soho is on UK Netflix right now.
I saw,
which is insane, and it's, you know, it's a previous movie of the year for us, and a must watch for anyone. So the fact that is just on UK Netflix, and I don't know what the other rights are like, but this movie has been criminally underwatched, criminally underloved by the horror community as a whole, and so I want to continue to shout it out on this podcast, and the fact that it's there on a streaming service that most people have, it's probably the number one movie you should watch on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it on there over the weekend, and it was you never know how much to believe the way they put it, but it was the number 4 film, it said on there, that was like currently being watched, and I kind of laughed to myself, where I was like, oh my god, are people finally seeing this film? No,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I say, even if it gets one pair of eyeballs that falls in love with this movie even half as much as we have over the years, then I'm happy. But yeah, I completely echo what you've said, and in terms of just Netflix, I mean, it's like you say, if we ever did a this is our best films that we've ever done for the podcast, that's easily in the running, like no question about it.
Yeah, exactly. And if we looked at like the best horror movies that are on Netflix right now, that's it's got to be up there as well. So that's why it's
best movies, full stop.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I was excited to see that. And yeah, also I've started watching a little TV show that you might not guess. Also on Netflix. I decided it was time. Like, I've just been watching a lot of stuff with him in, and then I just was like, I've got to watch this show again. I need to give it another go and actually finish it off. So I'm currently right towards the end of season one of Hannibal.
Oh, right, nice.
Yeah, the show is so weird. Like, it's such a weird, cool show, and also a show that I can easily see why it just got cancelled. It's everything about it makes perfect sense because it's so weird. And like, there are episodes that I love, and there are episodes that have just completely I've been a passenger for, and yet I've only watched like 9 episodes.
Right,
you know, and I don't think it should have like highs and lows like that straight away, where there's just been like complete throwaway, where I'm like, this was just pointless, and then there's been really great moments. And so, yeah, I, you know, and it has this very, very distinct style. It's very talky, very, very talky. And, you know, but yeah, I love me some Mads, and I just decided it was time to give it a rewatch. And I'm really excited to get post season one, because season one, I do remember quite well. And I did watch all of season two, but I remember liking season two more. And then just for some reason, like everyone else in the world, just didn't pick up season three.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited to give it another go.
Do you think I'd like Hannibal?
Yeah, I do. Just because I thought for a second, and I remember how much you like Mans, and I'm like, yeah, you will, because it's a lot of him.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I love him so much, and I barely get to see him in anything, so...
Exactly, so that's why I think you'll really like it, because this is so perfectly suited to him.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that Will Graham annoyingly takes up too much time, and I think that will frustrate you, because he is annoying as a character, let alone the fact that you're just wanting to see Mads the whole time.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, but it became, I don't know, I think what it became like very quickly is it became just the same sequence. Each episode was just the same formula, where it was like this killer of the week, Will's trying to catch him, Hannibal's kind of helping, they're having little one-to-ones, and then they conveniently get it all together and catch him at the end of the episode and move on to the next one. And it was just like, it's weird that it became that in season one already. And so, yeah. And I do remember that they do, you know, cause I'm towards the end of season one now, and I'm like, oh, there's a lot of stuff that I remember that's more, you know, canon storyline, Will Hannibal stuff that clearly they just build upon in season two. And season one was just him hunting killers and Hannibal helping. Yeah. But yeah, it definitely has some good moments, and I'm excited to get into more.
Yeah, I've always been like interested in it, but there's definitely been a reason why I haven't ever watched it. And I think that there's, I mean, right now there's easily a dozen shows that I want to watch over it. So I don't think I'll ever get to it, but it's definitely that the Mads factor is the one. Yeah. I think the thing that put me off the most was obviously the show got cancelled. And I'm pretty sure it didn't get cancelled in a satisfying place.
It did not.
I'm pretty sure I'll never watch this. Like that's my reason for not watching a lot of shows, for fear of it happening, let alone the fact that, oh no, it did happen. That's the world we live in currently. And that's already happened to so many shows that I love. So
I just couldn't, like, a character like Hannibal that I love so much, and the fact that Mads was playing him was like, you know, it is wild that we got something that perfect.
Yeah, I think I'll have to just watch one at the very least at some point, just to say like I've seen it, but then I'm worried that I'll get hooked, because if I watch Mads in anything, I know I'll just want to watch it all.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened with me.
Yeah, that's fair enough. He is amazing. But yeah, that is it for another week. Got a few things on the backlog. I mean, there is a certain movie that's out in the cinema this week, but
nope.
Yeah, That's how I feel. I can't think of anything less that I'd want to see than go watch The Nun 2 right now. Just got to be honest. So let's not put ourselves through that. But there is plenty of stuff.
When we have a break that long as well, like there's always a chance that we don't ever come back. And then if we then subject ourselves to the Nun that quickly, that might be game over right there.
Yeah, we need to, like there's that movie Cobweb on demand as well, but even something like that, which could be good. I'm also not in the mood for that. I think there's The Blackening, which I'm definitely more in the mood for, because I think just like something dumb and light would be good. But we also haven't done Craven for a very long time.
I'm sitting there thinking Craven.
Yeah, we've got the last film to watch. So it might be time, because I'm really excited to check that one out. So I think either of those I'd be okay with, unless anything else randomly pops up. But yeah, there's stuff out there in the ether. Like I say, we're only... a couple more weeks to fill, and then Saw is upon us. So very, very exciting. And then all that crazy stuff in October on Shudder. God, I haven't stopped thinking about that since we talked about the news. I'm like, oh man, I'm so excited for Creepshow and VHS, and then getting, because those will be great. Especially, I'm glad that like Creepshow will be, you know, we'll get to watch it all in one go. But then Chucky's just going to be this gift that hopefully we'll get to see over throughout the whole month. Just awesome. Can't wait for all that stuff. But yeah, that was episode 361. Thanks for listening as always, and we'll see you again very soon.
See you later, everyone. You'll die soon enough anyway. Shut up, I can't. Mainly because I never could. How could I start that?